Okay, my friends. So today we are reading a story called The Year of the Perfect Christmas Tree. We've read a lot of stories about Christmas trees, and it's kind of fun to keep that tradition going here. Especially a cold, snowy one like this one, because it takes place in the Appalachian Mountains, which are in the northeast part of the United States of America. But this story took place a long time ago. And it's got a very specific way of talking. The people and the characters in here have an interesting way of talking. So I hope that you can appreciate it and imagine that you're in this place at this time. So let's read the story. But before we get into it, I would like to say that it is we want to do our patron shout out. It's a special story for special friends. So our patrons are people who have helped us get new stories, and they are our friends and encourage us, and we get to talk with them and build friendships and kind of get to know each other. And so today we want to give our patron shout outs to, do you remember their names? Do you want to do it?
Vivek.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
Vivek and Agraja.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So thank you, friends. And we hope that you enjoy this very special story for you today. So without any further ado, The Year of the Perfect Christmas Tree by Gloria Houston, pictures by Barbara Cooney, read today by Mommy and
The Mandalorian.
And The Mandalorian. Oh, I'm so happy that you're here with us. Here we go. It was getting towards Christmas in the Valley of Pine Grove. The wise folk said the old woman in the sky was picking her geese, for the Appalachian Mountains lay blanketed with snow. And do you know what that means? Why would they say that she's picking her geese? The old woman in the sky, because it was snowing. And do you know what feathers of a goose look like?
What?
White fluffy stuff like snow. Mm-hmm. The road wound like white ribbons around the misty blue ridges, tracked by the runners of wagons and sleds and sleighs, and occasionally an automobile chugged its way through the silence. Do you know what an automobile is?
Nope.
It's a car. It's an automobile. But they kind of pronounced things in an unusual way there. Across the ocean, the Great War raged. But in the valley, all was at peace. It was getting on towards the Christmas Ruthie would never forget. The Christmas when the village almost did not have a Christmas tree. It happened this way. Ruthie told me so. Come, pretty young'un, Papa said one day early in the spring. It's time to choose the Christmas tree for the village church.
Is it ready?
Good question. Why would they do that in the spring? Let's see.
But Papa, Christmas will not come for a long while, said Ruthie. The service trees are just in bloom now.
We must choose a special tree and mark it for the coming year. It's the custom in our village, said Papa. For one family to give all the folk in the village and up every hill and holler a Christmas tree for the Pine Grove Church. This year it's our turn. Some years, Timber and Man will give a fat round laurel from the Northy Coves, the kind outlanders call rhododendron. And another year, the holler folk may bring a cedar to spread its fragrance throughout the village church.
What kind of tree shall we have, Papa?
Said Ruthie.
We shall have a balsam Christmas tree, my pretty young'un, said Papa. The balsam grows up the rocky crags where only the venturesome man may go. The balsam is a perfect tree. It grows up high, near to heaven.
And so these are different kinds of trees, like the rhododendron, right? And the cedar. and the balsam. So, you know, a balsam tree is another way to say that would be like a fir tree, right? It's one of those. It looks like a Christmas tree. But a cedar has a strong smell. It's a very yummy smell.
Get ready. Get set. I'm going to take the key.
Take a picture. All right. So, Papa and Ruthie rode on old Petey's back across the high cliffs and along the crags, looking for the perfect balsam Christmas tree. They rode and rode from early morning until the sun was high in the sky, and finally, they saw it, growing on the edge of a high cliff on Grandfather Mountain. All alone, with no other trees around it. Its green color was dark and rich. It was the perfect shape and size. Its tip-tip-top pointing up to heaven.
"This will be our perfect Christmas tree," said Papa. "And as is the custom, the selfsame year, you shall be the heavenly angel in the village Christmas play. It is fitting that you should mark the Christmas tree."
Papa took the red ribbon from Ruthie's coal-black curls. He lifted her high in his strong arms.
"Tie this to the tip-tip-top," he said,
and then he kissed the dimple in each of Ruthie's cheeks. Oh, I see what they've done. So because there are a number of trees on the mountain, they want to know which one is going to be the special one. So they've gone out to look at all the other trees, and they've marked this one with her ribbon. The summer came, and Papa was called away to be a soldier. He went to fight in the war far across the sea. That year, the timber was not cut, so Mama had no money to buy coffee or sugar or clothes for new dresses, and Mama and Ruthie drank peppermint tea sweetened with honey. Mama lowered the hems of Ruthie's dresses and embroidered pretty flowers over the tears and mends. Together, they tended the little garden, growing vegetables to eat. And every night, Mama tucked Ruthie into her bed and listened as she said the same prayer.
"Please send my papa home for Christmas," Ruthie whispered. "And please have old St. Nicholas bring me a doll with a beautiful dress, the color of cream, all trimmed with ribbons and lace."
Oh, okay. You know, whenever there is a war, I feel like most children whose parents are at the war are praying for their parents to come home safely, especially for Christmas. Now, one day that fall, when the dried corn shocks rustled in the breeze, a package came from Papa. In it were soft silk stockings for Mama and blue satin hair ribbons for Ruthie, and there was a letter, too.
"I'll be home for Christmas," the letter said. "The war is finally over, and the armistice was signed today."
And the days passed. Each day, Ruthie ran home from school as fast as the deer that fed by the stream.
"Is Papa home?"
she called as she ran up the steps. But every day, Mama said,
"No, not today. Maybe tomorrow. He will come on the Tweetsie train."
Wonder what a Tweetsie train is, don't you? Let's see. The days passed. Ruthie listened for the squeaky whistle of the little train that the mountain folk called Tweetsie as it chugged through the valley and up the mountainside. Oh, they must call it Tweetsie because choo-choo trains kind of tweet, don't they? They go tweet, tweet. Kind of a choo-choo sound. Yeah. Mm-hmm. One day, Mama and Ruthie harnessed old Petey to the sled and went down to the station at Pinola. When the other men from the village stepped down from the train, Papa was not with them. But soon there was only one more day until Christmas Eve. Over at the school, Miss Jenny and her pupils began practicing the Christmas play. The children sang the Appalachian lullaby.
"Jesus, Jesus, rest your head. You have got a manger bed."
Miss Jenny chose a boy and a girl who would be Mary and Joseph, and then she called Ruthie's name.
"This year, you shall be the heavenly angel," Miss Jenny said. This is the year your papa will give the church its Christmas tree.
Miss Jenny helped Ruthie climb up to stand on the teacher's chair so it would look as if she were up in the sky. Miss Jenny showed her how to hold her arms just so. Do you see how she's doing this? In the picture, friends, she's holding her arms up like she's an angel. Mm-hmm.
If you wear a dress with great big sleeves, said Miss Jenny, it will look like you have wings. Mama! Mama! Said Ruthie as she ran up the front steps that day. I must have a new dress with great big sleeves. I'm going to be the heavenly angel when Papa gives them the Christmas tree.
Oh, my pretty young'un, said Mama. I have no cloth to make a dress with great big sleeves, and I have no money until your Papa comes home.
Mama kissed the dimple in each of Ruthie's cheeks and hugged her daughter tightly. Oh my goodness, Philip, are we going to have a problem? Their daddy isn't there, and they don't have the tree, and she doesn't have the dress, and oh my goodness, I'm kind of worried about them. Let's see what happens next.
That night, the preacher from Pine Grove Church knocked at the door.
Tomorrow's Christmas Eve, Miss Green, he said, and Tom is not yet home from the war, and Chad McKinney has been up saving a prime cedar for the bottom land for Christmas next. And he just leave to cut the tree this year.
This year, our family gives the tree, said Mama. Tom chose it before he went away to war.
I'd hoped you'd heed my wish, said the preacher. The church must have a Christmas tree when the Mara comes.
Tom is as good as his word. Our family will give the Christmas tree this year, said Mama.
Ooh, well, late that night, Mama wakened Ruthie. They dressed in their warm coats, hats, and mittens. Mama hitched old Petey to the big sled that Papa used to haul fire logs down from the ridges. The moon shone silver as Mama and Ruthie made their way up the hill. Ruthie carried the lantern. As they came into the dark woods, the winter moon made strange shadows on the snow.
Mama, I'm afraid, said Ruthie.
No need to be afraid, said Mama. We're off to get that perfect balsam Christmas tree. Mama began to sing.
I wander as I wander out under the sky.
Ruthie joined in the song, and soon she forgot to be afraid. I've noticed that too. You know, whenever I start to feel afraid, sometimes singing helps me feel not afraid. Does that help you when you're afraid to sing? Yeah, I thought so. Now, Mama and Ruthie led old Petey and the sled up the hills and across the ridges, but they could not find the perfect balsam.
Papa says the balsam grows up high in the rocky crags near heaven, where only a venturesome man will go, said Ruthie.
The rocky crag, said Mama. We have to long climb ahead.
Slowly, they led old Petey along the ridge to the highest crag on Grandfather Mountain. They could see the village sleeping in the valley far below. Finally, at the edge of the highest cliff, they saw the balsam standing alone.
There it is, Mama, Ruthie cried. See, there's my ribbon bow tied to the tip-tip top.
Ruthie ran up the rocky crag as Mommy and old Petey followed. The blade of Papa's axe shone in the moonlight as Mama lifted it high. Thwack! Crack! The sounds echoed through the rocks and hills. Then Mama picked up the saw and said, take hold of the end, my pretty young'un. Pull as hard as ever you can. And Mama pulled, and then Ruthie pulled. Pull, pull, back and forth until the perfect balsam Christmas tree fell softly into the snow. Ruthie and Mama lifted the tree onto the sled and tied it there. Then they made their way down the ridge.
I saw three ships come sailing in on Christmas Day in the morning, they sang.
Through the soft snow, they led old Petey to the church. Together, they lifted the perfect balsam Christmas tree from the sled and stood it in the corner near the belfry wall. Just as the sun was rising over Doe Hill, they hurried home. Tucking Ruthie into her little bed, Mama whispered, "The folks shall have their Christmas tree, and you shall be the heavenly angel this year." Ruthie fell fast asleep, but Mama sat long by the firelight, sewing as fast as her nimble fingers could move. She cut the ribbons first and the lace from a wedding dress the color of cream. From it, she fashioned a smaller dress with flowing sleeves. Then she took a soft silk stocking, stuffed it with lamb's wool, and stroked it until it was smooth and round. Then she embroidered it with two blue eyes, little black curls, and a dimple in each cheek. From the scraps of Ruthie's dress, she made a tiny dress just like it, all trimmed with ribbons and lace. She dressed the stocking doll within the tiny dress. Now look at this. The sun was high in the winter sky when the knock came at the door. "Good Christmas Eve, Preacher Alice," Mama said. "Do come in and spell yourself." Now, when she says, "Do come in and spell yourself," some of this language is a little bit unusual. Does she mean that she wants him to put a spell on himself? No. She means that she would like him to come in, and they used to say, "sit a spell," which it all kind of means the same thing. It means sit down and relax for a few minutes.
"Did you hear the news about the Christmas tree?"
the preacher said.
"A wondrous balsam from up in the high crags, but found on the belfry porch this morning."
Do tell, what a wonder," said Mama.
"And that's not all. It's being told hereabouts that folks who live up on the holler heard the angels singing high up on the ridge late into the night, and they were singing Christmas songs,"
said Preacher Alice. Ruthie hid her face in Mama's patchwork so the preacher could not hear her laugh. Who was doing the singing? Was it angels?
It was the mama and the little girl.
Daylight was fading when Mama helped Ruthie into the prettiest dress Ruthie had ever seen. It was made of softest silk, the color of cream, all trimmed with ribbons and lace, and it had long flowing sleeves. "If you hold your arms just so," said Mama, "it will look like you have wings." And it really does. In the picture, she looks like a glorious looking angel. At the church, the ladies of the valley had decorated the perfect balsam Christmas tree. Reflections of the tiny red candles in their shiny holders fastened to the tips of the branches shone in the windows. Tied to the lower branches of the tree were presents wrapped in pretty paper, and on the tip-tip top was a tiny angel. The sexton rang the bell, and from up and down the river road and from the hills and the hollers, the folks were coming to celebrate the Christmas tree. A choir of children sat by the organ, and the three kings waited outside the belfry door. Behind the bedsheet curtains, Mama helped the little Mary put her doll to bed in the manger straw. Ruthie climbed up and stood on the preacher's big chair. The ladies pushed the bedsheet curtains back, and Ruthie could see herself in the church windows. She was careful to hold her arms just so in her beautiful dress as if she had wings.
"Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy," said Ruthie, the heavenly angel.
And when the program was over, Ruthie went to sit with Mama in the front pew. Mama held her close. Then the three kings came walking down the aisle carrying lard pails filled with the Christmas treat pokes. Each bag contained a soft peppermint stick, some chocolate drops, an orange, and some hazelnuts. Hopefully no one has nut allergy. Behind the kings walked old Saint Nicholas. That's Santa Claus, right? He carried his toe sack goodie bag with him. Old St. Nicholas visited the Amen corner first, and he gave each of the deacons a lump of coal or a willow switch, and the folks in the church laughed. And then to all the children who misbehaved, old St. Nick gave a willow switch or a lump of coal as well. Ruthie had been good that year, so she got a treat poke instead. At last, it was time to call the names on the presents tied to the tree. Every child in the church received a present. Everyone, that is, except Ruthie. A tear slipped down into the dimple in her cheek. Then one of the kings reached to the tip-tip-top of the perfect balsam Christmas tree, and he lifted the tiny angel down.
"Why, Ruthie," said old St. Nick, "this tiny angel looks just like you."
And it did. The tiny angel was wearing a dress just like Ruthie's. It was made of the softest silk, the color of cream. It was trimmed with ribbons and lace. The sleeves were long and flowing, and it looked as if she had wings. The angel's curls were as black as coal, and she had a dimple in each cheek. Ruthie hugged the tiny angel and kissed its silky cheek, which felt just like the silk stockings Papa had sent to Mama. The preacher said the benediction, and St. Nicholas wished to one and all a happy Christmas. Slowly, the people began leaving the church. Mama and Ruthie walked out the belfry door. St. Nicholas was standing there, and a man in an army uniform stood beside him.
"Here's another present for you, Ruthie," said St. Nicholas.
But Ruthie was so busy looking at her tiny angel that she did not notice until strong arms picked her up.
"Let me look at you, my pretty young'un,"
said Papa's voice. He hugged Ruthie and Mama and the tiny angel all at the same time. The village folk gathered round the church steps. Someone in the village began to sing, "Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright." The folk in the village all joined in, but Papa, Mama, Ruthie, and the tiny angel hardly heard. They just hugged each other some more. And since that time, every year, for more than 60 years, a tiny angel has stood at the top of a perfect balsam Christmas tree. She wears a dress of softest silk, the color of cream, all trimmed with ribbons and lace. The sleeves are long and flowing, and it looks as if she has wings. The angel has coal black hair, curls, and a dimple in her cheek. And that's how it happened. The Christmas of the heavenly angel and the perfect balsam Christmas tree. Grandma Ruthie told me so. And that, my friends, is a beautiful ending to a beautiful story, wouldn't you say?
The end.
The end.